Good morning and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick J. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Tuesday, January 27th, 2026. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter Bill's Story on page 15, the first paragraph, beginning with, "My wife and I abandon ourselves." We'll be reading that one paragraph ending with, "That works and rough going." Today's readers are Julie R., the 12 Steps, Kathy R., the 12 Traditions. Our Big Book readers are Kathy S. in the text, Judy N. on page 164, and Craig F. as our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Deb A., and our second hour moderator is Matt J. F. The share IDs for Monday, January 26, 2026 are 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 23,157. That's 23,157. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time is 23,158. That's 23,158. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Julie R. to read the 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, thanks, Rick. Julie R., recovered compulsive overeater. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct demands to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks, Pastor.
Well, thank you, Julie. I will now ask Kathy R. to read the 12 Traditions of OA.
Hi, everybody. This is Kathy R., compulsive overeater in the 12 Traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will let you know. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter Bill's Story on page 15, the first paragraph beginning with, "My wife and I abandoned ourselves," and we will be reading that one paragraph ending with, "That works in rough going." I will now ask Kathy S. to begin reading.
Thank you, Rick. This is Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. My wife and I abandoned ourselves with enthusiasm to the idea of helping other alcoholics to a solution of their problems. It was fortunate, for my old business associates remained skeptical for a year and a half, during which I found little work. I was not too well at the time and was plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. This sometimes nearly drove me back to drink, but I soon found that when all other measures failed, work with another alcoholic would save the day. Many times I have gone to my old hospital in despair. On talking to a man there, I would be amazingly lifted up and set on my feet. It is a design for living that works in rough going. I can totally relate to this paragraph with first my associates being skeptical the first year. That would be my family. And so there wasn't much really expected of me, but I often, you know, it's been 5.5 years since I've been recovered, and I still get plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. And this program has provided me a design for living that really works. And I find that one of the biggest things I do is connection. I first have to connect with God. When I'm in this place of self-pity and resentment, it's my own resistance to reality, to what's going on. So what do? I get quiet. I try to anyway. And I get down with a piece of paper and I just start connecting first with God. And I work through the 10th step process for me is to do an inventory, you know, to just write down what's disturbing me, who, what, and then how that affects me. And then going through looking at myself, where am I being dishonest, selfish, self-seeking, and afraid, and then consider a new angle of the situation. And I close it with a prayer, and then I call other fellows. This is intense work with another fellow. There's more to this than just sponsoring. And so, you know, at any time I connect, and I connect honestly, you know, like what's going on, you know, and sharing that and getting feedback, just connecting with another fellow, I get into a lot of self-pity about this disease. You know, it's not fair. I don't want to have to eat and drink the way that I do. I want to be with people. And in so many times, I don't have to do a 10 step always about that. I just make that outreach call and share that with somebody because, yeah, I fall into that. But we all always stumble. We laugh. We always stumble and carry that out and talk about the fact that I never could eat and drink like other people. And we start sharing stories and experiences. And next thing you know, it's like, it's so crazy. I am amazingly lifted up in this process. And I always get off the phone just so grateful for the fact that I'm abstinent, you know, and so grateful to have just shared that moment with someone else who gets it. You know, I can't do that necessarily with my husband. He doesn't understand. He, you know, I would get that frothy emotional appeal, like just get over it. But with another fellow, I feel understood. I feel this connection. And it, like I said, it really works in rough going. And that's my time. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And I pass.
Well, perfect timing. And thank you for getting us started, Kathy. Before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Friday or Monday, please hold back and let others share. Who would like to share on what was read this morning?
Melissa C.
Gotcha, Melissa.
Leia S.
Leia S.
Mary B.
Mary B.
Mary B. Did you get Mary B?
I did get Mary B.
Okay.
Who else? Sorry, who is this?
Bracket.
I just heard a name. Somebody H.
Bracket.
How do you spell your name, Vodka?
Alexis F.
E-R-A-C-H-A.
I'm having a hard time hearing you. And Alexis, I got you too. How do you spell your name again? I'm so sorry.
Bracha.
Bracha, got you. Okay. All right, I've got Melissa C, Leia S, Mary B, Bracha H, Alexis S. Who else would like to share?
Karen K.
Karen. Okay, well, we will go with this list of names, and then we'll get some more. I've got Melissa C., Leia S., Mary B., Bracha H., Alexis S., and Karen K. Melissa C., you are up first, followed by Leia S. Go ahead, Melissa.
Hey.
And when you introduce yourself, please remember to include where you're calling from.
Hi, Rick. It's Melissa C. Good morning, everyone. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York, and when I read this paragraph, there's a few things. One, I kind of chuckle because, you know, it's fortunate, right? He's saying it's fortunate that my old business associates remain skeptical and that he had no work. And I'm thinking, you know, yeah, right. I would imagine that in real time, rather than him looking back, he probably wasn't thinking it was fortunate at the time, right? You know, but in retrospect, when he looks back on it, he sees that, wow, you know what? It was a good thing, because what it did was it afforded him the time and I guess the drive to pour his enthusiasm, his energies, his creativity, his passion into this work. And this work has, you know, saves his life and mine as well. And I think, you know, when I read that, I think how little I really know, you know, about what's good for me, you know, because in real time, when I've been going through problems, I never say, oh, this is such a good thing. You know, this is a great thing because now I can pour myself into the work of this program. And yet the truth is that when I have made the decision to surrender my life, you know, my will and my life over to the care of God, and I have a new employer, I think that third step is all over here. you know, because there's a change that overcomes us. Our lives are no longer, my life is no longer my business. You know, I can get bogged down in the day-to-day stuff, but if I really place myself in God's care and protection, you know, it's like even when I've gone through rough times, the work of this program, the fellowship in this program, as was mentioned before, but also the work in helping another sick and suffering compulsive overeater has been the most important thing that has, like, shattered me out of waves of self-pity. And I think back, you know, when my mom was, after my mom had passed, and I was really sad, rightfully so. Nothing wrong with being sad. It's an appropriate response. But I have to be very careful because I have a disease that in self-pity, my sadness can spill over into self-pity, and that will take me out. And I have a design for living that works. And the truth is, I poured myself into helping others, and that has been, you know, one of the most beautiful gifts, true friendships, watching people set back on their feet and helping others really has been the thing that's pulled me through. And I just love how Bill's ambitious, creative, intelligent nature is not squashed, but actually redirected. And thanks for that. I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Melissa C. from New York. Leah S., you are up next, followed by Mary B. Go ahead, Leah.
Thank you so much, Rick. My name is Leah S. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Brooklyn, New York, and so grateful. So, a design of living. For me, the month of January, we've been celebrating festivities. My grandchildren, one of them got married, and I was traveling, and a lot of things that were not the same ritual that or routine that I used to do, and a lot of feelings and a lot of adjustments, and especially with the food and with everything, making do with everything. And we're talking about going out and telling, and there's nothing like telling another compulsive overeater that really is looking for a solution, that wants this program, how much it does to me and to anybody else. And also, I just want to say that during one of the get-togethers that I had, there were a lot of skinny people, and the main topic of one person that was talking about, she says to everyone, well, I know what addiction is. This dessert is addiction. Like, she was the expert, and my ears perked up, and I was listening to what this woman was saying. Doesn't make a difference. We have it right here as we cut our vacation short, and we wanted to avoid the weather, extreme weather conditions, and came back to Brooklyn. You know, God is in charge about everything in my life and wherever I go, whatever I do. You know, there's just nothing, everything, like, slow down. This is not open. School's not open. Businesses are slower. You know, why? Because of the weather. And who does the weather? And who runs my life, honestly? And I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you all. I pass.
Thank you, Leah S. from New York. Mary B., you are up next, followed by Braca H.
Good morning.
Mary, oh, there you are. I hear you now.
Hi, everybody. My name's Mary. I'm recovered. Yes, you can hear me. Good morning. My name is Mary. I'm a compulsive eater from the UK, but uniquely, I'm actually Hello, can you hear
Mary,
me?
Mary, you're very, very choppy. Is there anything you can do to maybe improve the connection?
Okay, can you hear me?
Let's see how it goes. That's, your volume's a little better, but you're still, like, cutting in and out quite a bit.
Okay, I'll keep it brief. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share.
I'm on East Coast time because I'm on the East Coast uniquely. I normally dial in from the UK for this meeting, but I'm in the States for work, trapped in a resort hotel conference centre because of the weather. And this reading about this section of the book about design for living that works in rough going has particular relevance for me. In this situation, I do feel like it's an interesting time. When I travel for work as well, I'm out of my usual routine, and but I keep my consistency, if that makes sense. I keep my morning routine up with my quiet time, follow the directions in the big book. My abstinence is through a weighed and measured food plan, but that doesn't make me, you know, superior or better than other people. It just means that's how I operationalize my eating and my food, and that's what works for me. And sometimes there's a requirement to have flexibility, and I lean into God and trust that I'll be guided to make the correct choice and the appropriate decision. And sometimes I feel like if I'm outside of my comfort zone, I'm going to lose something. But actually, I lean in and I look for ways to be of service. And this section of the book also makes me think about the dark past being our greatest asset. And also that image of Bill facing the hotel lobby in another part of the book where, you know, he has the decision to go in and sort of drown his sorrows with a drink, or he decides to help others. And I'm uniquely placed and have an opportunity to help others today. So I'm going to be outward looking, and I'm going to use this program and as a design for living today. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to share. It's great to be here with my fellows. And yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Mary B. from the UK, and welcome. Sorry, it's such a wintry blast here, but yeah, thank you for sharing. Rocka H., you are up next, followed by Alexis S. Rocka, hit star one to unmute.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Hello?
Hello, I can hear you.
Oh, great. So I'm Rocka H. Yes, so I'm Rocka H. from London, England. I'm just here today to say that I'm quite in the beginning of program still. I'm struggling, but it's you guys that keep giving me hope, keeping me here. And it's thanks to all of you, because if not for you, I don't know what would be with me. So keep going, and thank you all for everything. I pass.
Well, thank you, Brock H. from London. Alexis S., you are up next, followed by Karen K.
This is Alexis F. as in Francis. My daughter and I suffer from mental illness as well as a few other diseases. I have Parkinson's that keeps me in a wheelchair. So I'm difficult to deal with to get out of the house and do things. She's very patient with that. However, most recently, we've had a change of medication. And she went on one injection for losing weight, and I went on something for having a stroke. They put me on too high a dose, and my neurologist said, you know, he doesn't know why they put me on that high a dose. It's way above normal. So he cut it down to one third of what it was. And we deal with that and compulsive overeating and alcoholism and compulsive spending. And I smoked for many years, along with a variety of other sicknesses. So anyway, it was the perfect storm. When we got sick, you know, on this medication that we were on, my daughter was changing medication. I was changing medication and made me stop taking my manic depressive medication. And due to that, you know, of course I was up and down. And my daughter didn't realize it, but there was a counter indication, a counter interaction with her medicine that she was on and this new drug that she
Hey, Alexis, I'm going to, excuse me, can we please stick more to the topic on literature that we're discussing today? I mean, everything you're sharing is pertinent and we appreciate that, but we're trying to stay with the paragraph that we read today.
Well, it says, my wife and I have abandoned ourselves with enthusiasm in the idea of helping others. I believe that help begins at home. I don't believe that it begins with helping others on the outside. That can be an avocation. But my first vocation is to take care of my daughter. And her first vocation is to take care of me as I get older. If, you know, if they could talk about a husband and a wife dedicating themselves to one addiction, I think it's important to be able to talk about your experience. Whether it's with being multi-addicted or whether it's with being singularly addicted. I am expressing feelings of things that happened to me during the past week. I know that...
That's time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing, Alexis F. And Karen K., you are up next, and I'll get some more names. Go ahead, Karen.
Hi, it's Karen K. from Mississippi, and I've really enjoyed all the shares so far, and this paragraph really did speak to me. I'm not to step 12 yet. I'm on step 10, so I haven't actually started sponsoring people yet, but I feel like I've gotten this feeling, the lifted up feeling, just from outreach calls. And I had a call yesterday from a newcomer where we just, you know, I kind of shared my story so far, and that lifted me up. So I'm really looking forward to getting to the 12th step and being able to sponsor people and watch them walk through this program, because it's been such an amazing journey for me so far that I just want to share that and watch somebody else go through it. Thank you. That's all I got.
Thank you, Karen Kay from Mississippi. All right, before we continue with our second group of names, we are in the chapter Bill's Story on page 15, the first paragraph, beginning with my wife and I abandoned ourselves, and reading through that one paragraph, ending with that works in rough going. And though we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Friday or Monday, please hold back and let others share. Who else would like to share on what was read this morning?
Akiko V. from New York.
Jessica S.
Okay, I got Jessica S., but before that, could you spell your name, please?
Yes, it's A-K-I-K-O, Akiko.
A-K-I-K-O?
Yes.
Okay, and... first letter or last name?
V.
As in Victor?
Yes.
And okay, and where are you calling from, Akiko?
New York State.
All right, gotcha. Okay, I've got Akiko V and Jessica S. Who else?
Juliana F. from Connecticut.
Juliana, is that S as in sparkling or F as in fabulous?
F as in fabulous. Thank you.
Okay. Where are you calling from?
On the list, I'm listed as Connecticut, so we'll stick with that.
Okay. Who else would like to share? Plenty of room.
Amy G.
Katie B. Okay. Who else?
Lucy A.
I got somebody A. What was your first name?
Lucy. Sorry, yeah.
All right. Anybody else?
Rachel CV.
Rachel CV.
From New York.
Okay, and who else? I didn't quite get that. Okay, I think everybody check to see if you're unmuted or not. I'm getting a lot of crackly, staticky noise. All right, I've got Akiko V, Jessica S, Juliana F, Amy G, Katie B, Lucy A, and Rachel CV. If you gave me your name and you didn't hear me call it out, could you give me your name now, please? Okay. Akiko V, you are up first, followed by Jessica S. Go ahead, Akiko, and please remember to include where you're calling from when you introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Akiko. I'm a compulsive overeater, bulimic. I'm calling from Rockland County, New York State. So the one thing that really, dawned upon me was the fact that first line where he says that my wife and I completely abandoned to ourselves to the work. And I remember reading this scripture verse where it says, I have food that you don't know of to do the will of my father. So it just got me thinking about, if we're all addicts and we all have this emptiness, this hole that we're trying to fill, and how do we fill that hole? Well, it's by letting go of ourselves, right? And seeking God's will for our lives and doing his will. And when we do that, then we're not like hungry for things. We're satisfied. So I thought that was really interesting that despite how it was mentioned, all these things were happening, he was okay. And I can totally relate to that personally. So thank you very much for letting me share.
Well, thank you very much, Akiko V from New York. All right, Jessica S., you are up next, followed by Juliana F. Go ahead, Jessica. Jessica, hit star one.
Okay, I'm here. Okay. Yes, so I'm Jessica S. from Ohio. Can I be heard?
Oh yeah, I've got you, Jessica. I hear you.
Okay. So I was thinking about this paragraph where it talks about Bill and his wife abandoned stuff to the work, and I was thinking about how when I was working this stuff, how every time that I would take on a sponsor, I was thinking about how I would automatically totally forget about the challenges that I would face in a day. And even now, when I have those occasional days of absence, you know, how when I make an outreach call or whether I'm listening to something, and then even then, you know, just even at, like, let's at work yesterday, I didn't have anything to do, but I didn't want to rush back to the food after work. So I asked my supervisor, I said, hey, how can I be of help? Because I knew that if I had those moments of idle, I knew that it was a very dangerous place for me to be. Because automatically, when I am in self-pity and when I'm in resentment, automatically it seems like my body is my mind is shouting some type of food. It's like I immediately gravitate to that. Because it's like, okay, the food is going to make me feel better, but then what happens is once I ingest any amount of food, I think to myself, well, that's not enough. Even if I eat the whole bag of Doritos. And, I mean, that is enough for someone that who does not have the illness that I have, you know, or the disease that I have. And I have to be watchful of that. And I'm trying, you know, hard to, you know, connect to people more. I bought a new big book for the year. Now it's just time for me to mark it up. But you know, I totally can relate to this. And ultimately, I can get through life challenges without, you know, being drunk or being connected to the book. And I think that's all I have. Thanks for letting me share.
Okay, thanks, Jessica S. from Ohio. Juliana F., you are up next, followed by Amy G. Go ahead, Juliana.
Thank you so much. It's so good to be here this morning on this meeting, and I'm grateful for your service. Thanks so much. Juliana F., as in Frank, on the list, it says I'm from Connecticut, but I'm currently hunkered down under the snow warning cold warning in Pennsylvania. So I'm just really grateful to be on this line this morning. I mean, if I had, usually there's a snow day, so it's like a whole thing, but usually if I get up, I don't hear the reading. I just hear the shares because of timing. And today was a perfect day to not actually hear the reading because the first line and the last line are like the big important lines, you know, abandon myself in service to others. And it is a plan for us in rough going, or whatever was that last line. It's rough going. There's millions of people under a freezing cold, you know, and then everything that's going on in my life right now, it's, you know, there's rough going on. And I'm so grateful that I have this program because it centers me one day at a time. And that's what I need to remember today, is that it centers me one day at a time. I only have to do the actions that it's asking me to do and not my own ideas, which are what get me in trouble in the first place, and just do those just for today and let everything else fall into my higher power's hands. That's, and then, like, of course, there's, like, all of me that wants to get in the way of that. So, so I have to keep kind of coming, keep listening, keep hearing other people's shares, keep doing the things that they're saying to do. And wouldn't you know it, even after all this work and all this kind of embodiment of the understanding that we get in this program, yesterday I was like, I can't make a phone call. I'm, you know, and today just being on the meeting was like, oh, no, that's when you make the phone call, you know. So I'm grateful to have both this meeting that anchors and centers me, people to reach out to, people who reach back out, and really the book, because the book speaks. Every time I go through that big book, it speaks to me in another way. It's like a living document that is healing, and I hear what I need to hear for that particular time, whether I'm going through it myself because I have fallen off the wagon, or whether we're going through it for somebody else that is being sponsored. So just the fact that this program is put together the way it is such a miracle, and it is a guide for going in rough times. And I'm like, oh, okay, so I've got a guide for going in rough times. And I have all of this evidence that it works, because if I look back on my rough times, when I see that I actually take the actions that are suggested, because as I've been told, this is a program of action, not a program of understanding.
That's time, Juliana. Maybe,
okay, thanks so much, and thanks everybody for your shares. Bye.
Thank you, Juliana F. from Connecticut. Amy G., you are up next, followed by Katie B. Go ahead, Amy.
Good morning, Rick. My name is Amy G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Thank you so much for your service and everyone. Such a wonderful meeting. I don't think I'm saying anything new here, but it bears repeating in my humble opinion of, you know, it's a design for living and rough going. And if many of us, or many of you all know the situation when Bill was new and in sobriety, and he was at that Mayflower Hotel, and he's in a panic because the business deal fell through. He's not feeling well. He hears the glasses clinking in the happy hour in the bar. He knows frantically that he needs to work, you know, with someone else in order to stay sober. And I understand that panic and that feeling when it's rough and when things are hard, not only just around eating, but around life when it's hard. So when we work with someone else, you know, what is the principle that is fostered here when we do that? Not only getting out of my own head, but a sense of the principle of gratitude, complete and utter gratitude. I mean, how many times have I been struggling and I pick up the phone and I listen to someone else? Or they call me, divinely inspired. They call me and I hear what's going on with them. And I hang up and nothing has changed in my life, but I feel better. Why is that? Again, in my humble opinion, it's because I'm grateful that I have the life that I have. If for no other reason that I've been given a chance for recovery and I grabbed it like a life preserver because I knew my life depended upon it. If all I do today is be abstinent, yes, it may not be the best day, but today, and work my program, of course, and try to connect to God, then I've had a good day. There's not a day that goes by in recovery that I can't find something to be grateful for. You know, my family's motto is love God, serve others. And I know it sounds kind of hokey, and a lot of times my kids have looked at me when they're young and like, whatever, Mom. But, you know, now they're in their 20s. And those who know that I have a way far from perfect family. But I had my son the other day turn to me and say, Mom, isn't that what we do, love God, serve others? And I just broke down in tears because the reality of the concept of gratitude in our lives when it's a rough going, it is an antidote. It is a design that does give us an opportunity to not only get out of our own heads, remember why we're doing what we're doing, and have an incredible sense of gratitude for those of us who are here, because there are many who are not on this line and dying and suffering of compulsive overeating. Maybe I can reach out today and help someone else and find gratitude and love of my higher power through that service. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Amy G. from Maryland. Katie B., you are up next, followed by Lucy A. Go ahead, Katie.
Hi, good morning. My name is Katie B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm calling from New York. I've been moved by all the shares, and I'm just sort of sitting here now reflecting in gratitude. So I'm feeling very grateful this morning. So when I read this paragraph this morning, what I got from it was, let me trust God's plan. You know, when Bill says that it was fortunate that he had little work, like how many times have I felt like my circumstances suck and not trusted that God is working for good for me, you know, and wanting things a different way. And when he also says, you know, he wasn't well, he was plagued, like so many things that objectively seem bad, right? And yet he was able to stay in his recovery. So how, you know, by working with others? I mean, what, it's a miracle, right? So I want to remember, instead of feeling bad for myself in those moments, help me to think of someone else. When things aren't going my way, let me just trust that this is God's way. and let me just do the next right thing and let me try to help others. And for today, you know, I'm in step one. So how can I help others? And I guess, you know, the first thing that I can do is the next right thing. So what's that today? So I, you know, like put on my oxygen mask, right? I guess first, like I have to help myself right now. I have to take the direction of my sponsor. I have to work this program, work the steps, work my step one. And how do I help others? Even right now, I can be on this meeting and I can make my outreach calls and I can be in fellowship with others. And that is a design for living even now, you know, in the early stages of my step work. And I hope everyone has a great day, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie B. from New York. Lucy A., you are up next, followed by Rachel C.V. Go ahead, Lucy.
Good morning, Lucy A., gratefully recovered in New York City and grateful to be at work after this storm that we had. We have a city that cleans up quickly. but yeah, I'm so thankful for program and for how things used to be versus how they are now. What a difference. And sometimes I have to pinch myself when I don't react to things, when I don't try to control things. In the past, I always wanted to be the one to give people advice, even if it was unsolicited. If I thought they needed to hear from me what I had to say, then I would just share, you know, thinking that I was helping them and that they needed it. And God knows how many times people must have been like, nobody asked. Like, why is she giving me this feedback? I didn't ask her for it. I mean, even to the point where if I'm standing by someone's desk, I might even suggest to them, you know, like how their monitors should be positioned or like how the lighting of the outside might be better off. So just things that used to bother me now, I just see it as what a blessing what program has done for me. And it's not that OA took away the problems that existed, like, you know, real life problems, like, you know, my husband going through cancer, my mom in rehab, my kids going through their own, you know, adult, young adult situations. OA has allowed me to walk through them without eating over them. OA has allowed me to have a life that's still busy and sometimes difficult, but today I'm not trying to fix my life with food. I'm not going to the food. So the chaos has not disappeared, but I stopped looking for a way to control the chaos. I'm able to still to look at things with fear and just pray about it. You know, like, God, is my mom going to be okay? When I found my mom in a pool of blood last month, she fell on her head in her kitchen. And it was God that prompted me to just check on her camera. And when I found her there in complete fear, not knowing if she was going to live through that moment, I just literally just stood there and prayed as my husband, God bless him, jumped into action. But by the grace of God, she's okay. But I don't know how I would have handled that in the past. I don't know. But I have hard days today. I just don't have to abandon myself to food anymore. And sponsoring and giving it away is the key. Giving it away and allowing someone else to be blessed the way that I've been blessed is the only way. Without helping others, without giving away what I have, this isn't going to work for me. I have to keep giving it away. And with that being said, I'm also open to sponsoring. I have one sponsee, but I'm open to sponsoring someone else. So if someone is looking for a sponsor, I will put my name in after at the end of this call. This is Lucy A. in New York City, and thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Lucy A. from New York City. Rachel C.V., you are up next, and then see where we're at with time. Go ahead, Rachel.
Hey, everyone. This is Rachel C.V. from New York, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for everyone's service and just for being here today. Yeah, I just wanted to share on just still talking about, you know, these waves of self-pity and, you know, all these emotions he's feeling and almost driving him to drink again. And reading that is somewhat comforting for me. You know, I tend to be really hard on myself and really perfectionistic, which I've noticed, you know, a lot of us share in this program. And being able to accept my imperfections has been an ongoing process. And, you know, especially having worked through the steps and then still feeling these urges and these emotions and these character defects that I'm like, oh, shoot, like, did I do something wrong? But it's the point of being human, right? To have imperfection and have a need for a higher power to help us solve those things. And yeah, I just really resonate with Bill talking about that. And yeah, mostly just wanted to share on that today. I'm just learning to let go of these, you know, needs to be perfect, and these needs to not have, you know, any character defects. And I'm also realizing that I often obsess about my imperfection as a way to abdicate my responsibility for actually doing something about it. So I'll notice things and I'll obsess and I'll be so hard on myself, but I'm not actually doing anything about it. I'm not actually going and making an amend. I'm not actually doing the work to overcome that character defect. And that's just a way of me, you know, abdicating my responsibility, which is another thing I'm learning in this program, is to be responsible for my mistakes and the person that I am and my failures, and to own up to it. And that's the way to true freedom and true peace, rather than just being mean to myself. So thank you guys very much for being here. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Rachel CV from New York. I've got time for two-minute shares.
Joy and Lee, Pauline M.
Okay, so I heard Joy and Larry.
Okay.
Joy, what was the – go ahead and when you introduce yourself, remember to include where you're calling from, and I've also got Larry K. Go ahead, Joy.
I am Joy and B from California. I'm very grateful – for all of your service in this meeting. Thank you so much for hosting. I am in recovery as an overeater. And one of the things that I really have come to learn as I've sponsored is each time I go through the book, the big book, Our Precious Guide to Life, I learn something new. And with my sponsees, we read together, and the discussion always brings new information, a new point of view, a new reason to express why we have to look at this book in detail and see what it's telling us is important. What are they putting an emphasis on? And one of the most important emphasis is service and reaching out to others, because each new person that I sponsor brings new information, new data, new growth, And a loving interaction. And sometimes I've run into sponsees who've left because they don't want to do the extensive day-to-day reading and both the 12x12 or the big book, or they don't want to do the homework or write out what are their foods or write out why they ate before and all of that. But all of that information helps me to grow in my own program. And I'm so grateful for Visions and all that I have learned and how it's changed and uplifted my life. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Joy and B from California. Larry K., you are up next, and you can take us out. Go ahead, Larry.
Okay, Rick, thanks so much. Larry K., recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. When I was in high school, I was taking a class, and one of the assignments was to write your own obituary. I mean, that'll zero in on some things. Here's Bill Wilson's obituary in the New York Times, January 26, 1971. It says William Griffith Wilson died late Sunday night, and the announcement of his death was revealed to have been the Bill W. who had co-founder of Alcoholics Anonymous in 1935. His age was 75. And it goes on to say the retired Wall Street security analyst had expected to die or go insane as a hopeless drunk 36 years ago. But, there's the but, after what he called a dramatic spiritual experience, had sobered up and stayed sober. He leaves a program of recovery as a legacy to 475,000 acknowledged alcoholics in 15,000 AA groups throughout the United States and in 88 other countries. And it goes on from there. Sometimes when I read about this with Bill and Lois and what they did, you know, I wonder if he thought much about what his legacy would be. I don't know what your legacy is going to be. I don't know what my legacy is going to be. The thing is, when I wrote my obituary back in high school, I mean, you know, I never thought much about it. It helps you to zero in on what you, you know, that little dash, you know, you were born a given year dash. What are you going to do with the dash? What are you going to do with the dash? For me, this paragraph, this program is about what I get the opportunity by the grace of God to do with the dash. Anyways, with that, I pass. Grateful. Thanks, Rick.
Thank you so much, Larry K. from Chicago. And thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Tuesday, January 27th, 2026, is 23,160. That's 23,160. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Judy N. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. I'm Judy N., recovered, living in Maryland. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.